Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Water contamination in Flint, Michigan reminds us once again of the dangers lead poses. In St. Louis, it's not the water, it's the lead paint in so many of the region's older homes. Remediation efforts have been ongoing for decades. Where are we now in these efforts? Joining me in studio is Frank Oswald, St. Louis City's Building Commissioner. His office is responsible for lead remediation efforts in the city. Also with us are Kurt Scobie, the director of the city's water division. Max Steiner is an epidemiologist with the city's health department. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you. Frank, let me start with you. What kind of shape are we in here in St. Louis?
Well, I think we're in the best shape we've been in a long time. You know, we have a very active lead remediation program. We reach out to people. We do in the neighborhood of 6,000 inspections per year. And those are actual lead inspections that's requested or come through request for, you know, by pediatricians through kids who show elevated blood levels. And in addition to that, we do quite a bit of emphasis on preventing lead poisoning. We do that through our housing conservation inspections, which is an occupancy inspection program in which our building inspectors, prior to people moving in, do a great deal of looking for any type of lead hazards and making sure those are abated before people move in. So we're in pretty good shape today.
You know, when I first came to St. Louis, it's been a long time ago now, back in 1971, we were covering stories hot and heavy in those days about the lead paint problem, the lead contamination problem. That was a long time ago. I guess people could ask logically, why is it taking so long to just eliminate the problem entirely?
Well, the problem will not go away altogether entirely because your older homes have lead paint in them. Mm-hmm. And lead paint was sold up until the late 70s in the state. And the fact of the matter is that you're not able to scrape away and get away all of that paint. So a lot of it is actually abatement in which you encapsulate the paint to reduce the danger and get rid of it. So, you know, you're not going to get rid of it 100% ever. So that's why we've got a program in which we're set up, we're funded through a portion of our building permit revenue actually goes toward our lead program, and we plan on being in the business always.
The good news is that lead paint has been banned since, what, 1978 or so, back in the 70s. So no more lead paint is coming into the system.
That is correct.
Okay. Kurt, let me turn to you. The Flint issue, of course, is on a lot of people's minds. How safe is our water here in St. Louis?
Our water is very safe. Their issue is not our issues. They got in trouble with their water quality when they switched sources and failed to address corrosion of their water.
And a big problem it is, obviously. We've been reading so much about it. But I have an email here from someone who said, glad we're covering this issue. Remember that faucets in the home can contain lead. This lead can leach into the water. Copper plumbing can contain lead solder. Does that sound like it should be an issue for us?
Well, it's until recently, your plumbing was allowed to have lead solder and the fixtures. There's also lead service lines from older homes, but these are, they're there, they've been there, but when we treat the water, we treat it so it's not corrosive. It's hard, alkali water that tends to put down scale as opposed to soft, acidic water, which tends to dissolve the pipe and plumbing from the inside. So we take measures to make sure that our water is not corrosive.
The main thing is to assure residents of the city of St. Louis that their water is safe. No problem there.
That's correct.
Right. Matt, let me turn to you now with regard to the health issues. I've seen a number of figures with regard to the number of kids who've been affected by this, and it ranges from a couple of hundred to several thousand. Do you have any numbers that you can give us?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason that you probably have seen several different types of numbers is that back in 2012, the CDC changed their level of concern for lead poisoning. So historically, the level of concern, lead is measured in the blood by micrograms per deciliter. And historically, the threshold for lead poisoning was 10 micrograms per deciliter. And back in 2012, the CDC changed their reference level to 5 micrograms per deciliter. So we report out both. We track both. We've always tracked children that test in that 5 to 9 range. We've always tracked them. We've followed up with them and referred them for, you know, a free building inspection, a free house inspection. We offer free lead tests at the City Health Department. Since 2003, when the mayor began the initiative, the rates have come down by 82% when you're talking about the 5 micrograms per deciliter threshold, with reductions every single year since 2003, with an average annual reduction of about 13%.
What is the actual health issue for people who are suffering from this lead contamination?
Sure. The most common issues that we see would be behavioral issues or, a reduced IQ, those types of issues. You know, at really high concentrations, it can cause some other symptoms. But, one of the issues about it is that exposure at lower levels is really hard to detect without a blood test. There's not really any outward symptoms that you'll see oftentimes. And so we really need to encourage people, parents, pediatricians, test every child every year. It's required in St. Louis City that every child receive a test on an annual basis up to the age of 6. And what we see is we see really good high levels of testing at around age 1. And then, as a child ages, those rates of testing have gone down. And we've done quite a bit of efforts at reaching out to physicians and parents and educating them to try and bring your child into the health department, get a free lead test, go to the building division, get a free inspection. So we're really trying to increase our testing numbers. We test about 50% of the kids in St. Louis City every year. There's approximately 25,000 kids under the age of 6 in St. Louis City, and we consistently are testing at roughly 50% of those kids, which is a considerably higher rate than almost every other city in the country.
Once it's discovered that a child is affected by this, what can be done? Can they be treated?
Yes, they can be treated medically. We're lucky to have our partnerships with the Building Division and the Community Development Administration and the Problem Properties Court. There's an entire process that clicks in when a child is lead poisoned. And that process involves case management, either through their Medicaid provider or through us at the City Health Department. We will case manage the child, and we will facilitate getting them into the Building Division to get a housing inspection. We'll facilitate, follow-up testing for the child. And yes, there is, from a medical standpoint, there are also some other things that can be done depending upon the lead level and other factors.
Frank, walk me through the process, if you would, exactly what happens. We talk about the various remediation efforts.
Sure.
As you did a couple of moments ago, but walk me through a typical kind of case, if you would.
Okay. A typical case will be a referral from the health department. And like Matt said, the success of the program is greatly due in primarily to the combination of all the different departments working so well together. But once we get that information, we will, within 24 hours, be out at that particular property. And we will try to, arrange an entry into the property, and we'll perform a lead test. If we find that there is problems within the home on the inside that's dangerous to that child, what we'll do is we have teams of lead remediation people who are licensed by the state of Missouri who actually go out, and we will do the lead remediation immediately. We're not so concerned about the money issue. We want to go ahead and get it, get the child's environment made safe right away.
It's obvious why everyone would be concerned about the children, but what about adults?
Well, my understanding, and I'll let Matt talk a little about this, is that it's not as dangerous to adults, because the problem is that most children ingest the lead, where adults don't, put their fingers in the mouth and stuff like that.
Lead paint is sweet, from what I understand, and kids are attracted to that.
Yeah, that's certainly true, and I think historically most people have kind of thought about lead poisoning from that standpoint, where a child is eating lead paint chips. And more often than not, the exposure route is actually, dust from windows being opened and closed, or, you know, and children do a lot of hand-to-mouth activity, and so they'll, you know, they'll kind of crawl around and they'll get some dust on their fingers, and it's the more typical case is not just eating lead paint chips because they're sweet. It's, you know, it's those accidental routes of exposure from those types of activities. The other thing I wanted to stress is that, you know, a good chunk of, I think, our inspections are prompted not necessarily by a child who has been exposed, but we try to focus a lot of our efforts on primary prevention, so reducing lead hazards and lead exposure before they're even, you know, a danger to a child. And, you know, we have projects whereby pregnant women are recruited in OBGYN clinics, and we refer them over for an inspection before the child is even born so that we could identify and get rid of the lead hazards before the child is even born.
Right. And, Kurt, how are you working now with the other departments? I mean, it seems like you're kind of at a distance from what we've been talking about here.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, we are regulated by the state of Missouri on water quality standards, and then with they implement the U.S. EPA standards. They have a lead and copper rule where it requires us to go out and sample at various people's homes with that we know there's lead in the plumbing of these homes, and maintain a level of lead in the water below that. The standard is that 90% of your samples that you take are less than 15 parts per billion, and we easily meet that. The last time we did a round of samples, our 90th percentile, they call it, was 1.1 parts per billion. So that's considerably less than the 15 parts per billion that is the threshold where you have to take additional steps and measures to do it. And then every day we go out and in our treatment process, our finished water, we have standards of the chemistry so that it is not corrosive.
But those lead pipes, I mean, when people hear that lead pipes are bringing water into their homes, I'm sure that's a source of concern for them.
Well, I can see that. And it comes down to the chemistry of the water. Is it corrosive? Is it going to dissolve the pipe from the inside and pick up these metals? Or is it like our water, this hard water, that tends to deposit calcium and actually creates a barrier between the water going through the pipe and the material of the pipe.
Yeah. Frank, you look like you wanted to ask.
Yeah, I wanted to just also put into this that Kurt's people work with my plumbing division as well. Mm-hmm. And lead lines that, you know, are supply lines that go into people's homes, whenever somebody has a rehab in their home and they're actually increasing the number of fixtures, are they actually doing a rehab where more than 50% of the value of the home is, you know, being spent, we require them to go ahead and change out that line, and then they're required to put in a new line. You know, we're not in a situation where we can certainly drive around and say, gee, you're going to have to spend $6,000 or $8,000 to put a new service line in, particularly if you have a home where, like Kurt is talking about, there may not be any children. And the other thing I think we need to focus in on too is that we don't know of any child that's ever been lead poisoned in the city of St. Louis due to water.
Well, that's encouraging. I'm sure people are happy to hear that. The Flint story has certainly elevated concerns, if you will, about water supplies all over the country. We have to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking about the lead remediation programs, the lead paint situation in the city of St. Louis. It's been ongoing for a long time, but seems to be well managed and pretty much under control. We'll continue the conversation with Frank Oswald, who is the St. Louis Building Commissioner. Also with me in studio is Kurt Scobie, the director of the city's water division, and Matt Steiner is an epidemiologist with the city's health department. Welcome back and continue our conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, we'll take it at STL on air. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Frank Oswald, Kurt Scooby, and Matt Steiner. Frank, let me come back to you with the homes that we're talking about. Obviously, we're talking about homes of a certain vintage. But is this a problem that has a socioeconomic aspect to it? Poor neighborhoods more likely to have the problem than more affluent?
That's generally true, but not totally. The problem actually occurs throughout the St. Louis region. St. Louis County has quite a bit of an issue in many of their older neighborhoods. Homes in Clayton and homes in Ladue that are of that age certainly have those issues as well. So it's something we all need to certainly pay attention to. And I think that's one of the reasons we focus so much of our efforts on prevention, too, with the landlords of properties in these kind of lower income areas.
What other kinds of organizations are involved in the screenings? It seems to me, and I have in my notes here someplace, that there have been a number of organizations that have been involved in screening, but they've sort of been phased out over the recent years.
Yeah, there was a lead coalition group that certainly had met and were very active for many years, and I consider them always were part of, you know, were our partners. I think people end up with other important things going on in their life, and they feel that there was, a very adequate remedy of what the city is trying to do to, deal with the problem. So,
how much money does the city spend on this?
Okay. Since 2004, the city has actually looked at 72,000 units.
Wow.
We actually get a lead remediation money from our building permits, and we've gotten about $13.5 million on that. And through HUD grants over the years, we've got about $19.6 million. That gives us a total of about $33 million over the years that we've been doing. And we spend around a little over $8,000 per unit or per house, per home.
$8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going for what? Scraping?
That's going for scraping paint. A lot of times we replace windows. Windows tend to be the biggest issue with homes. Like Matt was saying, it's not so much always that children are actually chewing lead paint. It's that you have windows going up and down that create a lot of lead dust in those old windowsills and things like that when they slam, any of the friction surfaces. So we change a lot of that out and
When you're doing this, is there a danger of contamination or people leave off the premises? How does that work?
Yeah, in some cases, we certainly have them move out. We've done stuff in which we put people up in hotels over the years. Most recently, we're able to use plastic. We've got techniques in which we actually just basically cordon off that particular room we're working in that day. And then we're able to test the room before we let anybody back in, and we do what we call a clear. My lead inspectors actually carry a piece of equipment called an XRF, and one of those XRF are in the neighborhood of $15,000. And just maintaining that equipment, but that is expensive, but that equipment allows us to determine whether there's lead there in, accurately and quickly.
And if someone has a concern about their home, what do they do? Call the building department?
Yeah, actually just call the Citizen Service Bureau at 622-4800 and request a lead inspection. And we'll come out and we'll do a lead inspection free.
We'll take a couple of calls here, but I want to point out, too, because we received an email today from the Urban League that they apparently have a free lead remediation service for income-qualified city homeowners through the Urban League's lead remediation program. So folks are interested in working through that organization, they can contact the Urban League. Let's take a couple of phone calls. We'll bring in John calling from Spanish Lake. John, thanks for being with us. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I've got some experience with this, and a caution. There's a scenario out there that you may not be aware of, but a young contractor, which I was years ago, and I got into this problem where when you get into an older house, you are really letting the genie out of the bottle. And there could be young people out there who get their first homes, their older homes. They might have small children crawling around on the floor. And the young man or woman together might be tearing the house up. They're pulling down walls, taking out cabinets, taking out doors. And this is when the lead goes crazy. It's all over the house. So there's good information that's to be had from St. Louis University and other sources, and some of your people there can there's guidelines and on how to do this correctly. We use HEPA filters and take care to keep the lead out of your children.
Thanks for the call. Do you want to address that, Frank?
Yes, John. Thanks so much for that call. You're absolutely accurate on that. That's one of our great concerns and brings up another great issue for me, and that's why we want people to get building permits when you're doing work. You know, when you come into the city and you get a building permit, if you're going to be doing that kind of stuff, we want to make sure you're aware of that fact. And it's incredibly important that people do that. All of our contractors are all licensed. All of my people who do this are all licensed through the state of Missouri, and St. Louis University does do a wonderful education program, and they work with us in assisting neighborhood groups and various, you know, other individuals who are interested in getting lead certified.
You had indicated, Frank, before we went on the air, that you feel, I think I've interpreted this correctly, you feel that people have become somewhat blasé about this particular issue?
Yeah, I think that there's a level of comfort sometimes that is, not what we really want right now. We want people to always be concerned about it and always be conscious of the lead issue. I honestly believe we have the best lead program in the country. You know, we're very passionate about it. We're very concerned about the kids. And we all understand that, you know, this is incredibly important. This affects the next generation, and it affects our, you know, social, mental health issues, crime, all of that stuff. So, yes.
Matt, do we have any sense over the years of how many kids have been affected by this?
Yeah. For example, in 2003, you know, 48% of the kids that were tested had a level of lead in their blood over 5 micrograms per deciliter.
How many were tested?
Well, that was 5,777 kids that had an elevated level.
So that's almost 2,500, almost.
Tested over 12,000. And today that number is down below 1,000.
Well, that too is encouraging, but still a lot of kids are being exposed to this. Let's take another call. We'll bring in Cortland, who's calling from St. Louis. Cortland, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds like you're underwater, but go ahead. Give it a try.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get this out there. I'm just wondering, how can the statute of limitations be been worn out, and it's been a cover-up? You understand? Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, is that it?
I don't see why the state wouldn't pick this up, and they're trying to lock Bill Cosby up for less of a crime, so I need some explanation.
You're basically saying, why aren't people being prosecuted?
Yeah, no one's talking about it. You know, this has been going on for years, decades. No one's talking about it. Your government officials, nobody. This is ridiculous.
Cortland,
what kind of world are we really living in?
Cortland, thank you very much for the call. We're obviously talking about it now, and I know we've been talking about it for at least 40 years that I can go back to.
Sure, I can address it a little. Like Matt was saying, the whole team that works on this is very important to the process. And our city councilor's office, the problem properties unit, is the one that actually addresses any kind of prosecutions on a local level with the lead stuff. They're very aggressive, and they get incredible amounts of response almost immediately. This is to the point that we hardly have to send anybody to court nowadays. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because, you know, it is a civil type of liability that most landlords don't want to deal with. So they certainly want to make sure that their units are in good shape, that people's homes are, you know, repainted, that there's no lead hazards out there. As far as like the city, I know the city did, sue the lead manufacturers of paint, or the manufacturers of paint who put lead in there. And I believe, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that in 2009 or something, the courts ruled that we were unable to.
A Missouri Supreme Court ruling, as I recall.
Yes, I think you're correct.
Dealt with that and just basically said that suit could not take place.
That's correct.
We're going to have to wrap this up now, but I'd like to ask each of you for a bottom line on this. Matt, I'll start with you, and then I'll go to Kurt over here and back to Frank.
Sure. And, you know, I just want to stress that then in addition to a free housing inspection through the building division, you know, parents can bring their children down into the health department and we will test their child for free. And, you know, I would also encourage physicians to continue to try and increase their efforts at testing. You know, every child needs to be tested every year until they're 6 years old. And so just because a child hasn't, let's say, moved out of their house into a new house doesn't mean that you don't need to test every year. You need to test the child every year. There could be other routes of exposure, school, daycare, grandma's house. Bring your child into the health department. We'll test them for free.
Curtis Scobie?
I like to reassure people that our water is safe to drink, that lead is not an issue with the water supply for the city of St. Louis. We not only treat the water, we test to verify that we're succeeding at maintaining the quality of water.
And as Frank pointed out, no one has ever been diagnosed with a problem of lead contamination due to the city's water.
That's correct.
Right. Frank? Final line?
Yeah, I would just like to say prevention, prevention. You know, this is something that we can prevent as a community and keep our children free of this type of thing. And, you know, don't worry about the money issue. You know, if you've got a piece of property and you're concerned about it, whether it's a landlord or whether you're the homeowner or you're a renter, call us, let us check into it, and we'll figure out a way to get this thing fixed.
We'll put all of that contact information on our website, by the way, at stlpublicradio.org. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being here. Frank Oswald, Curt Scobie, and Matt Steiner on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.